Good morning. Move this thing out of the way here. Well, as you can see, Michael's not here this morning, as Steve announced this morning. So, you'll have to forgive me if I'm a little nervous. It's in my normal bag, but I enjoy doing it. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love, your Son, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for showing us how to be graceful and merciful to those around us. We pray, Lord, that you be with us as we look at your word this morning. Be with me, and I pray that you speak through me, and we pray that it reaches each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today we're going to talk about forgiveness. Seems to be a going theme in a lot of our lives right now, is either needing forgiveness or needing to forgive. And so that's what I wanted to talk about. I think sometimes it's hard to grasp what forgiveness is. I think a lot of us approach it different ways. I think sometimes we just move on but never really forgive. That part's dead to me. I think sometimes we forgive and don't forget. And I think sometimes we just choose to hold on to it. We'd rather live with that misery than to actually forgive whatever it was that happened. So this morning I want to look at Scripture and see what God has to say about forgiveness. And we're not going to be able to look at everything it says, because there is a lot. If you ever decide to do any research on forgiveness, it's all throughout the book. So the first point I want to make is that all of us are in need of forgiveness. There's not any of us that escape the need of forgiveness. If there was, then any of us in here that didn't need forgiveness, then we would have been the Christ. He's the only one that never had to have forgiveness. So all of us have done something. All of us are responsible for the fact that Jesus had to hang on the cross. Romans chapter 3 is where we're going to start this morning. We're not going to spend most of our time in it, though. We're just going to start there. Romans chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 21. And I'm going to go ahead and read through 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So from a spiritual perspective, we're all born into sin, and that will eternally keep us separated from God. So we all have to have that forgiveness. Had God not loved us enough for Jesus to pay our debt for us, we would all be condemned. But because he did, we're now forgiven, and then we're continually forgiven. It's not like he forgave us for what we did up to the point of our baptism. We continually have that blanket of forgiveness over us. Realizing the fact that we are all in need of forgiveness, that helps us bring ourselves one step closer to forgiving those that have wronged us, because none of us are perfect. Secondly, I think it's very important for us to remember that forgiving others is a prerequisite to our forgiveness. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to spend most of the rest of the time in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. So forgiving others is a prerequisite for us to have forgiveness. Jesus had just finished teaching the Lord's Prayer, and he makes it very clear that if you want to be forgiven, then you forgive. Sometimes that's hard verse to process mentally. Just the fact that in order to be forgiven, we have to forgive. If we have resentment and bitterness in our heart, it's time to give it to God. Let him heal us, and he give us the ability to forgive. And according to these verses, our eternity is dependent on it. A lack of forgiveness breaks our fellowship with God. Let's turn back a chapter to chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 21 through 26. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." These verses begin speaking of the condition of our hearts. He says harboring anger, harboring murderous thoughts. I mean, not all of us have murderous thoughts. Some of us might. Those are probably wives. But otherwise, insults, anger. What was the other one? Whoever calls or says you fool. All of these things are conditions of our heart. So if our heart is bitter, then that breaks our fellowship with God. And he says, if you remember that your brother has something against you, which is the other side of that coin, if there's something that needs to be given, that forgiven that you've done. That kind of gets both sides of that coin. So take care of those things before you bring your gift to God. Don't let anything be a barrier between you and fellowship with God. We talked the last time I taught class, we were talking about faith, hope, and love and light, and how anything that is darkness pushes out faith, hope, and love. It takes up room. There's the story about the man with the unclean spirit, and he cleans out his house, and the unclean spirit goes away, but he never does put anything back in it. So the unclean spirit comes back with multitude of friends, and he's way worse off. I think we're good about cleaning out our house, but we need to make sure that we fill it with faith, hope, and love, so that there's no room for that darkness to come back in. Don't let anger, bitterness, any of that stuff, the inability to forgive, don't let that interrupt your communion with God. We're shown in the Bible that we owe forgiveness even if they don't ask for it. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read 21 through 35. Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all he had, and the, and the payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him. And he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. In this story, there's two different debtors, and neither one of them came and said, I'm sorry. They just said, have patience with me and I'll pay you. That's not really the point of that story, but the first master was, you know, just on the have patience with me, he had pity and forgave the debt. Nowhere in that story does anyone say, I'm sorry. Nowhere in any of the stories in the Bible where it shows forgiveness does anyone say, I'm sorry, and then that was a prerequisite to be forgiven. So while we like to have the apologies, it's our human nature for us to, you know, we're wronged and that person comes to us and I'm so sorry that happened. It's not a prerequisite. We're commanded to forgive. Again, talking about wanting apologies, we don't necessarily have to have an apology, but I think that we are, I think it's our responsibility to be initiators of forgiveness. If somebody's done something to you, don't tell everybody else that someone did something to you. Go talk to that person. You know, Jesus talked about if someone wrongs you, that you confront them and tell them what's wrong. And if that doesn't fix it, then you get another. And if that doesn't fix it, bring it to the church. You know, there's a whole step for that. But it does say that you go to the person that wronged you. You bring it up. And I think it's important that we do that. And in doing so, I think we get that first step towards forgiveness. And it's evident by the end of this story that it's important that we forgive. You know, Jesus is using this as a parable, but he's saying that if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. It's going to be horrible for you in the end. So we need to forgive even if it's not asked for. We also have examples of forgiveness for those that don't deserve it. In Acts chapter 7, after Stephen had finished preaching, they took him out and stoned him. And do y'all remember what he said? Father, forgive them. He's getting pelted to death with stones. And he says, Father, forgive them. Don't hold this sin against them. There's numerous examples that charge us to forgive others when we don't deserve it. In addition to that story, there's another one that's almost the same story. Jesus, hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's not required for them to deserve forgiveness. It's required for us so that we can have that light in our heart to forgive, so we don't hold on to that darkness. If you find yourself having trouble extending forgiveness to someone that seems undeserving, think about how unworthy we are of forgiveness. Through the course of our lives, we've all done stuff. You know, some of us may have done things that we perceive to be worse than others, but we've all done stuff. We all had a reason to need to be baptized. We were undeserving of Jesus to be hanging on the cross, and yet he hung on the cross to forgive our sins. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know anybody that's done anything wrong to me that's worse than having killed me for something I didn't do. That's bottom line of it. So when you consider the magnitude of what Jesus went through for our sins, kind of makes everything else seem petty. We do owe others an unlimited amount of forgiveness. In the beginning of this, Peter asked Jesus how many times to forgive his brother. And I think it's kind of funny that, and it may not have been funny, it may have been a legitimate, I'm using a complete number, but I think it's funny that Peter in his generosity says seven times, and then I can be mad, you know. And Jesus says not seven, but 77. Some versions say 70 times seven. I've always thought of this as the number isn't the important thing. It's the continual forgiveness. It's the continuation of it. I did not realize the connection until I was talking to Erin about it, and she mentioned to me that in Genesis chapter 4, it's talking about Cain and Abel, and talking about Adam and Eve and all this stuff. And at the end of that chapter, verses 23 and 24, it talks about Lamech. And Lamech was not a good guy. He's first to have two wives. He was vengeful. He tells his wives that he murdered somebody because he hurt him. And he goes on to say that if Cain's vengeance is seven times, which is what God promised, if anyone comes after Cain, my vengeance will be seven times on him. He said, if Cain's vengeance is seven times mine, Lamech's vengeance will be 70 times seven. So only two places in the Bible that 70 times seven are mentioned. I never realized that. But it's a good connection. And the reason why I say it's a good connection, these people grew up in the Hebrew word. In the Old Testament law and all this stuff, they would have known that story. They would have known that correlation. In Lamech's terms, that 70 times 7 means there is no end to where I will stop. If you hurt me, I'm coming after you. There is no end to my vengeance. Jesus is saying, use that same passion with forgiveness. There is no end to how many times I will forgive you. So we're called to an unlimited amount of forgiveness. And we turn around back to what I was saying earlier about thinking about God's forgiveness towards us. He doesn't forgive us just for seven sins. His forgiveness is eternal. It's unending and it's continual. Forgiving people can be hard. And doing it over and over again can seem impossible. But you know, if we live our hearts with faith, hope, and love, if we let God guide our hearts, then the Bible says nothing's impossible through Him. So, to be clear, it doesn't mean to live your life in a way that you allow other people to just take advantage of you over and over and over again. We are called to wisdom, like we talked about in class this morning, test everything. But we're not to hold that bitterness and anger in our hearts. We're to forgive. It doesn't mean that you can't just step out of the situation. As we talked about a minute ago, there are consequences for choosing not to forgive. Jesus points out at the end of the story that there are consequences in verses 34 and 5. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. I think that last part is very important, the from your heart. You know, we can say it's okay, and then we still hang on to that bitterness. We've got to let go of it inside. God takes forgiveness seriously. We don't forgive others. There's consequences, and those consequences are eternal, which is a scary thought. And it should challenge us to evaluate our own hearts. Psalms 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." If forgiveness is needed, then today, like start now. Give it to God and forgive and get it out of your heart. Get it out of the way of your communion with God. Jesus being the ultimate example practicing forgiveness. You know, there was multiple times throughout the Bible where Jesus had to forgive his disciples. The biggest ones being, one, when they all abandoned him when he was arrested. And two, when Peter denied him. And And when Jesus came back from the dead, he first thing he did, he forgave them. You're right back into it. Here we go. You know, and he didn't continue to badger. He didn't continue to kick on it. He didn't continue to say, well, you did this and you said you wasn't going to leave me, but you took off. No, you're forgiven. Here's the work we got to do. Let's do it. Those men didn't deserve his forgiveness. Yet because Jesus loved them, he forgave them. And God gives us the ability to forgive others. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Again, forgiving can be one of the hardest things that God requires of us. But the good news is, he doesn't command it of us. He doesn't command it of us and then leave it to ourselves. He gives us Jesus as an example. He gives us his spirit. He gives us a spirit of love. And through that, we have the power to forgive. And then after forgiveness comes love. Even though we have a hard time forgetting sometimes, we do have the spirit of love. And above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. That's in 1 Peter. Sometimes things that happen in our lives, you're just not going to forget it. You're just not. You can't hold on to the grudge for it, though. You've got to let God have that. We may not be able to erase our memory, but we do have control over our actions. We can love those who've wronged us after we've forgiven them. It's hard to harbor ill will towards someone that we actively serve and love and pray for. That's something to write down. It's hard to harbor ill will towards someone that you actively serve and love and pray for. I want to close in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count his sin. God shows us how to forgive, and God forgives us. And because God loved all of us, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And Jesus died on the cross for us. And I think it's very important for us to also remember verse 17, because he says, he didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. God sent his son to forgive us our debts. We should forgive those that are indebted to us. I think that's written down multiple places throughout Scripture. We forgive because we've been forgiven. If anyone has any kind of needs, if anyone has any prayers, if anyone needs to be forgiven and needs to put on Christ in baptism, I invite you to come while we stand and sing.